Welcome to Two Beers In, a Tipsy Political Roundtable. I'm your host, Cody Lindquist.
I'm Charlie Todd.
I literally just finished chugging a beer 1 second before I made that introduction. So
our panelists, who you'll meet in a moment, are drinking behind us.
We're giving them some extra time because Charlie and I, at this point, are alcoholic pros, but
we're good at chugging. as good as a frat boy and a sorority girl.
Yeah, woo!
Well, all right. So,
yeah,
so proud
guys,
of what this election has driven us to.
We'll never be able to use in any other context at all. Parlor trick.
This is Two Beers In. Cody and I, we're a married couple. We love drinking beer and we love talking politics. So we decided to do it on stage.
Yeah.
And record it for the podcast.
Yeah, we're also a podcast, so please like, subscribe.
Yep. Who is here for the first time? Who's never seen our show before? Okay, lots of hands going up.
Oh,
no clappers tonight. But cool. Well, welcome to Two Beers In. We have an awesome panel tonight.
It is a kick-ass panel of ladies.
Yeah.
Charlie is outnumbered, just like it's going to be when Hillary wins the election. There's a white guy in the front that's like, yes, yes, I am going to be a second-class citizen.
Well,
thank you for admitting it. I appreciate
it. Like Tim Kaine, I couldn't be more proud than to be here with you ladies tonight, supporting you.
Aww.
That's what he said. That's what he told Joan.
He did.
So has anybody here already voted? Nice.
Oh yeah, great.
Okay.
Where are
what
you
state?
Early voting?
Indiana.
Midwest. Yeah,
North Carolina.
Great.
Wait, first of all, we got to address the elephant in the room. Is anybody here voted for or is going to vote for Donald Trump? Okay, all right, great. All right.
No, don't be afraid. Do not be afraid. We appreciate you and we are here to.
No, we don't. At this point, we don't. we might kind of appreciate somebody who says.
I appreciate them coming to our show.
Maybe. Okay. Somebody who's like a Jill Stein voter, we might kind of humor.
Yeah, is anyone here voting for Jill Stein or Gary Johnson?
All right, good. All right, we're among
friends. No, I do not appreciate you. Get the fuck out. Trump supporters stay because we can work it out.
Shall we introduce our panel that's awkwardly standing right behind us?
Yeah, let's do it.
Ladies and gentlemen, from Full Frontal with Sam B, please welcome Ashley Nicole Black.
And from The Daily Show with Trevor Noah, we have Desi Leidick.
And finally, from The Nation and an MSNBC political analyst, Joan Walsh is here.
Woo!
All right.
I have to say, I am always so excited when we have real journalists come on and chug beers with us. It makes me feel so just excited and happy. So thank you, Joan, you guys are comedians, whatever.
For risking my career?
Yes, thank you for risking your career. This could be the end of it.
Yeah.
Great, wonderful. So, no, come on, Hillary loves to chug beers. I know
Hillary
it.
Drinks.
You could go work for Hillary.
Sure. Trump does not drink.
No,
there
no,
you go.
I want everyone to know this. Trump does not drink, has never drank, and he says it often. And it's insane to me. It makes everything he says worse. Yeah.
He does. He does.
Behavior.
Yeah. How
he
is
does
that possible?
Something that makes him sniff after every two or three sentences in a debate. But that's not alcohol. I want to start the panel off with a question. I think this is the political story of the week. People are not talking about it, and it needs more attention. Eric Trump was caught in an In-N-Out burger with lemonade in his free water cup.
Yeah.
This is not a joke. If you haven't seen this picture,
He stole lemonade.
Well, there's two theories. And this happened because someone took a pose for a picture with Eric Trump, and he's holding a clear plastic, smaller than 16 ounces, probably a 10-ounce clear cup. We all know that's for water, and it clearly has lemonade in it. His wife had a standard paper In-N-Out cup. So it wasn't they were out of those cups. So that's been confirmed. So there's two theories. One, which might be the most likely, he asked for the free water cup and then filled it with lemonade, which someone who's worth $120 million, that's a little surprising. Or two, he
does not
understand how to use the drink machine. So my question for the panel is, which one would be more damaging, if true, to the Trump organization?
I mean, this is exactly what Bernie Sanders is talking about. The 1% is taking our lemonade, and they're not paying their fair share.
I think it's
equally as likely that he's never been to a fast food restaurant and doesn't know the rules of cups and just assumes that everything is for him.
And that his dad loves fast food, and that it's free, that he
can just go fill it up because that's what it's like at Trump Tower.
This is why poor people like it. Free soda.
Obama soda.
All right, who here, raise your hand if you've done that move before, and I'm going to count myself.
Yeah, my hand is raised. Right. But for me, it's like I changed my mind.
I've done it, although I have to say that it's an amateur move to use lemonade. You got to use Sprite. Because they can't tell Sprite from soda water.
They can't.
Way too obvious.
Okay, so Desi, I want to start off with you. So far, Hillary is leading in the polls, but WikiLeaks is still releasing emails. Do you think Julian Assange is done, or do you think he has something like bigger that he would release soon?
I don't know. I feel like if there was anything bigger, it would be out right now. Is that? I don't know. Maybe I'm just being hopeful.
I mean, I'm cautiously optimistic. That's my thing. Because I feel like all the stuff he released so far is kind of like, all right, dude, that's like bullshit. Yeah.
Political people do politics. Yeah. That's
right.
That's what they do.
Everything is extremely well thought out.
Right.
They really go over messaging. She prepared. What a bitch.
Yeah.
What a nasty woman.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I mean, it seems like we're in a time period where everybody is really feeling confident, and we're now talking about, like, you know, states that didn't used to be swing states, like Utah or Georgia. But is there another October surprise? Is there some, like, WikiLeak that we're waiting for next week? Or
actually, is a better way to phrase it. Is there anything they could leak that would make you not vote for her? Because honestly, if she murdered someone, I'd be like, eh, it was probably because she needed to.
He probably deserved it. Yeah. I'm sure he deserved it.
Like, that guy was probably a dick.
Yeah.
I imagine it was a man.
Who among us hasn't murdered a person or
Guys,
two?
Guys, really? There are so many bodies in my basement.
Yeah. I'm sure her intentions were really pure. Right?
Yeah,
absolutely.
Totally. I literally can't think of a single thing that
Jill
could...
Stein has murdered people for sure. So,
she
that's
murdered
not
people
an option.
With that really bad 90s folk album that she released.
She killed.
So I have a question for you, Joan, about this. Like, I think it's sort of shocking and amazing that Sean Hannity is Julian Assange's new best friend and is defending him. Like, how did we get here? How did this switcheroo happen? Like, Assange just became a Trump supporter, so everything switched?
Right, and you know, Hannity has trashed him before and said he belonged in jail.
Yeah,
but now,
like 2 years ago.
I mean, everybody, so many people are just so situational. I mean, we're all like that. We're all saying we would excuse murder. We did just do that.
This is a comedy show.
I was serious.
Hannity is also a comedy show, though.
Yeah, a comedy show. How can he do that? He's an awful person. He's a horrible. He's really one of the worst people in the world. I mean, he's not as bad as I think he's dumber than O'Reilly, so dumb people get a little bit of a pass. Right. Like, I think he's really dumb. And I think O'Reilly's evil. Are we in public?
Sort of, yes.
Oh, fuck.
Honestly, I read this like little book to my son that has, it's like a picture book of all the presidents. And today I was like reading the front of it to him, or the back, and I turned around and there was like a poll quote from Bill O'Reilly recommending the book. I was like, oh, hell no, I'm returning this.
Threw it away, burned it.
Torched it.
I know, thought I was doing something good for my child, but I was like, what? I don't know. Now I feel like everything has a slant.
You gotta stop reading our son killing Kennedy. He doesn't understand
it anyway.
It's a
great bedtime story. It's really great. So Ashley, Trump and Clinton both spoke at the Al Smith charity dinner. As a comedy writer, what are your critiques for both? Did Trump go too far? Tell us everything that went wrong or right.
He did exactly what he always does, which is a good performance for the first 5% of what it was going to be. So, like, in every debate, he's had, like, a good 15 minutes, and then the next, like, 80 minutes are garbage. And so I thought, oh, no, this Al Smith dinner is only 15 minutes, so he's going to do really well the whole time. Right. But no.
Nope.
He told, like, 3 good jokes and then garbage. So it's, you know, it's not a time thing. It's a percentage thing. We know that now. We've tested it. So he did have some good jokes, although this Maddow said last night, his best joke of the night was, like, here's how you can tell the media is biased. Michelle Obama gives a speech, everyone says it's great, and then my wife gives the exact same speech and everybody hates it. So it's a joke about plagiarism.
That was a really good joke.
That's a really good joke. It's a really good joke about plagiarism that, as it turns out, was plagiarized.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
What?
That was pub- published as a political cartoon.
No.
According to Maddow.
No.
It was. I've seen the cartoon. It yeah, was. It was
oh, that's so amazing.
It was also like the time in the speech where he was supposed to be self-deprecating, and he couldn't even be self-deprecating for one joke. He had to pin it on his wife, which is so shitty.
He had to be wife-deprecating.
Yeah. He's like, oh, my wife's a bitch. Yeah. Isn't that hilarious?
Right, everyone? Am I right?
She humiliated herself. She wasn't that funny when she humiliated herself? I love that.
You're the largest audience you'll ever speak in front of, ever.
That was such a great moment.
Yeah. And then he goes like, oh, I'm going to be in trouble when I get home. Cardinal, talk to her. And it's like, no, you're not cleaning up the joke. You're being more sexist.
Yeah. Do you think, because Hillary had people, we have friends that wrote jokes for that.
What?
Yes. Hillary didn't write those jokes herself.
Are you kidding?
That's the leak.
Isn't that crazy? WikiLeaks, get on it. Do you think that Trump, because it sounded to me like Trump didn't have any help. He's like, I got this.
Well, he did have the help of whoever made that political cartoon. Yeah, I think like.
He found that on Twitter and then was like, I'll make up the rest.
I'm sure he has a hard time finding comedians to write for him. Because most comedians are liberal, and then the ones
like
who aren't.
Like Dennis Miller's busy.
Yeah,
all the
that's
time.
The thing. Like the conservative comedians also aren't as funny. So who knows? Maybe he had like 40 of them writing for him, and that's what they came up with.
They came up with that zinger about how Hillary hates Catholics.
Yeah, right?
That was funny.
There's and that's why she is a Catholic running mate who's like the most Catholic person ever.
Or that, or my favorite zinger: Hillary destroyed villages in Haiti. That was such a good joke.
It truly
look how
read.
Much everyone here laughed. Yeah.
It also bombed in this room when retold.
So we really
it
tried
truly
it out.
Read like someone had written setups and punchlines, and he had like erased the punchlines and replaced them
and just put
with
the
things
setups.
He didn't like about Hillary.
Right? No, it's true.
That's well, probably also, true because he did the Comedy Central roast, and yeah. they released like the scripts from those where Trump was able to like put his like red pen and what he didn't want, and it was mostly removing punchlines.
Yeah, he's like, I like the setup, but wrong on the punchline. We don't need that.
Wrong.
We don't need
just
that.
Save
he like
the setup.
Found a way to make it so unfunny.
Oh boy. So Joan, we mentioned Tim Kaine. You recently interviewed Tim Kaine.
I love Tim Kaine.
I mean, he's America's dad, right? Oh, wait, that's Tom Hanks. That was the SNL
no, but
Tom Hanks,
it's Tim Kaine too.
America's stepdad.
Oh yeah.
Oh, I don't like
really?
That as much.
Stepdad. I don't know.
He wasn't the one we wanted,
cool.
But we learned
I
to accept
say,
him.
He's not really.
That's true.
But he wasn't. Yeah, that's true.
Romney was kind of America's stepdad.
Yeah, because right? well. I feel like stepdads are supposed to be cool. I don't have a stepdad. My parents are still married.
Oh, God bless
and
you.
And in the audience aww. Tonight.
They are. Hi, Scott and Susan.
That's right. They're going to come up and join us for a beer afterwards, I heard.
That's right. And they're voting in Ohio, so we all have to be nice to them.
Yes. Vote for all of us.
They're
original
liberals.
I think you had
liberals.
A question.
Yes, I did. So it feels like this year more than ever, the VP candidates have been largely ignored outside their one debate. Do you think Tim will make an impact as VP if he is actually elected?
Yeah, I think he will. And this is, I don't think I have a joke about this, but.
No, you don't need to have a joke.
He's actually, I mean, he's said, he told me, and he's now saying it in a more forthright way.
Did he say it in Spanish?
Sí.
Please say yes.
Sí. En español, totally. That's all I can. Totalmente. He said he's been pushing to get the Congress to actually authorize the wars. I mean, you know, Obama sort of called their bluff and said, okay, you're all debating what I should do in Syria. I'm going to ask you to authorize something and we're going to see what you decide. And they were like, no, not me. No, I'm sorry. I've got to wash my hair. Yeah. And so Tim Kaine is going to actually, with Hillary, is going to demand that they like think this through and authorize whatever they're going to do next. So I think that's a big deal.
Yeah,
I think
that's a huge
deal.
That's
really important. And, you know, I don't know that he'll be like, people worry, I worry even as a supporter, that she's somewhat more hawkish. I don't know that will be a curb on that potential hawkishness, but it could be. And it also just makes, you know, the entire House and Congress buy into whatever we're doing, including, you know, drones. And, yeah. I mean, it's a really complicated war against a non-state. So I just like brought the whole comedy level.
No, but this is important because I feel like that is what war is going to be forever, right?
Yeah. Like, well, really, we hope. I mean, it could be between states.
I mean, who knows? But it does feel like the future of war is that. And so they do sort of have to figure out this tricky situation of, like, you know, what do you do and how do you fix? It's not right. just like everybody putting on uniforms and going and fighting each other anymore.
Right. So, you know, I think he's going to be, I think he will be an influential vice president. I really do. I thought he was also really smart. Like, that, just my read on him.
Had you met him before the interview?
No, I'd never met him. And he was also incredibly nice. And
did he make some dumb dad jokes?
No, he knew I liked baseball. So I guess that's a kind of a dad thing to figure out.
Oh, wait, you're from Milwaukee. Are you a Cubs fan?
I'm a Cubs fan right now. I lived in San Francisco for 30 years, so I am very famously a Giants fan, but we're all Cubs fans, now. Except for the Indian fans. Any Indians fans here?
No Cardinals.
Oh, no. Come on.
No. Cardinals. No. Oh, so off message. That's not even funny.
Desi, we wanted to talk to you about fact-checking because you have a segment on The Daily Show that you've been doing called What the Actual Fact, and which is great.
One which person. Is really great. Yeah.
Thanks, Mom. I love you, too.
Desi's parents are here, too.
Yeah.
But it felt like it took the media, the mainstream media, even cable television, like it took a while for Trump to get called on his lies. Mm. I think it felt like that... like the comedy shows that you guys work for, Ashley and Desi, like, were a little ahead of the curve and just fact-checking. So
isn't that sad?
I'm sure that's not to say that Matt Au and Chris Hayes and Chris Matthews weren't fact-checking, but, like, in general, you weren't seeing it in a lot of mainstream news. So I guess, why do you think that is? Like, is it hard to, like, make Trump's just outright lies funny? Because I feel like the Jon Stewart's Daily Show, it was like, this person said this, but then we went back and dug up this tape, and it proves that he didn't think that. And with Trump, it's just like, Trump said the NFL wrote him a letter. He did not.
Right.
He just lies.
You basically can go back to yesterday when he said the exact opposite thing, rather than going back into the archives. Yeah. And I think he also, the narrative with him changes every hour almost. I mean, I don't even want to say every day. So it's like Hillary does something, and it's the one thing that you stick with over and over, and it's what everyone hears. She's crooked, she's crooked, she's crooked. Trump does something ridiculous. He lies, he flip-flops, he's all over the place every single hour on the hour. So it moves so quickly that I think everyone's threshold is just greater for his bullshit, and you just become accustomed to it. You're like, well, yeah, that's Trump. I don't know. We've been doing this segment to call him on his shit, but his supporters don't care.
They do not care.
They
don't care.
They're not voting based off of facts. They're voting from their gut. It doesn't matter.
Right. We lie. I mean, you know, it's fine. But I do think it has had, it's hard for comedy in a way, but it's had an impact. I mean, the New York Times has had all this soul searching about using the word lie. Mm-hmm. Like, they really didn't use it. They also didn't use the word pussy, but then they actually used that too. So it's a brave new world. Lie and
Times.
Pussy, you know?
Pussy.
But it took them a while to come out and say, this is
pussies.
A lie,
yeah.
Right?
I mean, I think that'll, like, ultimately have a positive effect on our media. Because, like, the contortions they twist themselves into to not say this is a lie. 97% of scientists believe this, and 3% of scientists believe this. So we invited one of each onto our show. Well, no, now it looks like 50-50. Right. Like, just say these people are wrong. That, you know, they're wrong. So I think that you could watch that, like, slowly growing. And it's really funny because now he's like... He's been saying the whole time that the media is rigged against him, but they really didn't turn against him until the pussy thing. Mm-hmm. So
it's really true, isn't it?
Yeah, and it's interesting that, like, they gave him so much rope for him to hang his pussy with.
Well, we've said this before, that it's like, you can attack anyone, but you just attacked married white women.
Yeah.
And
okay.
Once you do that, we're like, no. Mexicans, black people, Latina women, like, whatever. But you attacked a married white woman, and that is where we draw the line.
People in the media have white daughters and white wives and white mothers.
And, like, to be fair, he attacked a woman in the media.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
True.
Nancy is our friend.
How dare you?
Nancy, what is Nancy doing now? Does anyone know?
I think mostly responding to this, which is real bullshit.
That is sad.
The woman's had a long career. This should not be what she's doing with her time.
Yeah, I mean, it's a scary thing because I feel like it's, and Joan, you're the exception because you're in the media and I love you. But
we're in the media. Desi and I are in the media.
You are. Well, no, but you are.
You are.
You guys have taken up the mantle, really. And
but you're only
really
in the media. You're only in the media because of the failure of the old media. Mm-hmm. You know, John Stewart would famously say, I'm not the media, I'm a comedian, I'm not in the news. I do feel like this next generation accepts its role, but also understands its role as, well, yeah, I guess we are media because you guys have fucking failed. Mm-hmm. And that's pretty amazing.
Yep. Yeah. Absolutely. Oh, we're getting some
applause. Woo! Break is
yes. Don't hold back.
But you know, and I think that comes from both sides, right? From conservatives and liberals. We both feel like the media is not telling us a story. We want someone to say, this happened, and then this is the lie, right? And in comedy shows, they do that for both. I really do feel like they are blind to conservatives and liberals. The bent right now is conservatives. We don't like them, but that's because Trump is the one who's dominating the news cycle, and he lies through his teeth about everything.
Yeah. Right. I mean, I think it's just natural that the bent is that Trump is bent, but I don't know. It's hard. It's really, I can't believe I'm defending the bias of, I mean, you know, Kate McKinnon is so amazing, and she captures a certain thing that people don't like about Hillary, but she does it. It seems to me, or maybe this is an interesting question, because I like Hillary. I think she does it in a kind of affectionate way. Mm-hmm. You know,
she humanizes her.
She humanizes her in a way that she's just this kind of grasping person who's not. And I don't even think that's fair. But whatever. That's the
she's that girl from high school that has all the answers and sat in the front and raised her hand
like, first. All
of course, she should have been the fucking president of the class. Oh. But you really didn't want to vote for her because it was like, of course, she wants it more than
right.
the loser. Like
she
you know?
Really wants it. And you know,
and in women, that is a trait we do not like in women. We like men to like things and to want things. If a woman wants something, she's a bitch. She's wanted this forever. If a guy wants something, he's driven and confident.
Right.
We
also don't like it in ourselves. Like when we have that feeling of like, oh, I really want it. It feels really dirty and gross. When we see someone on TV always wanting it, it's a little bit like, oh. I recognize that and I don't like it. Yeah. Whereas we all wish we were the guy who was like, I'm just going to grab a pussy. Like everybody, a little part of you wishes you were that guy.
A metaphorical pussy. Right, Ashley?
Don't you mean grab the golden ring or something?
So we talked a little bit about
Tic Tacs before we got up here.
We talked about Trump supporters who don't care that he's lying. And I want to talk a little bit about his supporters. So today, some random person at replied me, and he had deplorable in his name, right? And Joan, I know you see this like every 5 seconds.
Yeah,
and I think
I like
the
it.
Only reason I saw it is because I included your handle in a tweet, and then they came out of the woodwork to at reply me too. So, what are these deplorables? Are they here forever?
I hope they keep it in their Twitter handles forever because it's just like block, 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 block. That's really useful.
So you see a little frog.
Yeah, Pepe the frog, block. Yeah, so that's great. But you asked probably a slightly more serious question.
No, I mean, I guess the question is like, my question was how do you handle them? And I guess you answered it. But I guess how do we as society handle them? Because we can't just block them from the voting booth.
I don't know if this is an answer to that question, but I just want to say, welcome, white people. The rest of us have been dealing with this for a really fucking long time. Yeah. Welcome to the party. It's garbage.
Well, Ashley, you're a twofold problem. You're a woman and you're black.
Yeah.
So,
I'm just
like,
so happy.
Women, anything on the internet. If I look at any internet video I've ever been on and look at a comment section, it's like, oh, either I am the most fuckable person in the world or I'm a garbage whore who should die.
Yeah.
That's basically the extreme that it is for women.
I don't think I've ever put anything on the internet from like a comedy video to like an article about toothpaste that didn't get a comment about black on black crime. Like, I literally, there's nothing I can do. I'm just a walking invitation.
To be fair, I didn't know your email address.
So I'm just happy it's getting spread out. Yeah, I think they've always been here, but they didn't have a feeling of safety to express their opinion, which Trump has provided. So I kind of hope that, like, they're not going to go away. They exist, and they're raising their kids to be like them. But maybe without a leader, it won't be as much. I think they might realize, oh, we're in the minority, which is what they're afraid of. And, hey, it's being the minority is a terrifying experience. Welcome.
But it doesn't have to be. I mean, I just feel like there's so much projection that, like, you or, you know, the coalition of color will treat us the way we treated you. Like, Obama is going to take away our guns and our right to vote and everything. You know, that there's this projection that non-white people are going to take their vengeance and be as awful as white people were.
And we are.
Well, you heard it here first, everyone, on this podcast.
Good to know.
The black agenda.
But this election has brought up, I mean, and this not just this election, it's been boiling up for a while, but a lot of shit has been happening, right? Sexism is at a fever pitch. Racism is at a fever pitch. Yeah. And so I'm wondering, and we have an all-female panel, plus Charlie, do you think that this ultimately is good? Do you think this sexism that is brought to the forefront, do you think it's good for our society? Do you think it's like we're going to get through it and move past it eventually? Or is it just the worst?
No, I mean, I think it has to be brought forward so that we can all deal with it, so we can all acknowledge it and discuss it, because only by discussing it do you move past it. It's just, I think the unfortunate part of it is that we are very close to having our first female president and we're talking about being grabbed by the pussy. Like, that feels
necessary. I mean, it's disgusting, but it feels like it is what it is. It's sort of like, you know, President Obama got elected and so many white people congratulated themselves on being post-racial, mm-hmm. and then saw this spike in, you know, this man being depicted as an African witch doctor with a bone through his nose and all the racism. And, you know, some people, even to some extent myself, and I thought, you know, Ashley, you're not going to come after me, right? I'm one of the good ones.
Well, you're on this stage.
Put us on your list.
Yeah,
right?
you get us on the list? Yeah, kind of to go backstage or something. But I feel like this is what happens. And, I remember thinking when he started talking about Megyn Kelly, you know, with blood coming out of her wherever, it was like a weekend. It was like a Friday. He said it on a Friday night, and I was walking, like, doing my Saturday chores and everything. And every media that I consumed was about Megyn Kelly. Was she menstruating? And even though the media was outraged, it was outrage, there was still a way in which this woman who had reached the pinnacle of her profession was still having menstruation questions and the association of menstruation with herself. And that's, you know, even the way he's talked about, well, and Hillary walked in front of me and I wasn't impressed. It's like,
what did that mean? Was he talking about her ass?
Yes, of course he was.
Really?
What kind of a man are you?
I think she looks good in those pantsuits.
I have to say,
guys, I know I bring this up all the time. I should not talk about a woman's looks, but she looks good. Every time she walks out, I'm like, that is a beautiful woman.
I agree.
I think she looks good. Anyway. No, but it is. I know, guys. Come on, Hillary looks great. Let's hear some.
We need an applause break for Hillary's ass, please.
Yeah, you don't want to do her, but like, just agree. She looks great.
She's a hot grandma. She's a hot grandma. But I do think that it is this insane thing that we have to deal with. And like, what's crazy to me is a lot of men don't realize what we go through on every single day of our lives.
That's what I was gonna say. Like, what I watched happen as more racism is happening, I remember saying to my friends, like, oh, this thing just happened. It's so racist. They'd be like, I think you're being a little bit sensitive. I don't know if that's a real
thing. That was your white friends, let's clarify.
Yeah.
Duh.
I don't know if this is a real problem. And then it got so big that those same people were like, oh shit, this is a real problem. And I watched those people start reading articles and reading books and getting woke. And so we're going to go through the same process having a female president, which means we're going to have
Absolutely.
16 years of feeling like shit. But at the end of it, we're going to be a little bit freer.
Hopefully.
Our grandchildren.
Yeah.
Well, what is it going to look like after Hillary gets elected in terms of like...
If she gets elected, I'm not taking anything
vote.
For granted. Please
we're
vote.
We're all going to
vote. Knock on wood.
Knock Everybody's going to vote.
We are on wood, so we're good.
If Hillary gets elected, like, is Mitch McConnell, or is he going to be as like obstructionist as he was
is
with Obama?
Is he
going to
sink his head back into his turtle shell and like...
I had kind
the
of
audience
hopes
agrees.
That the next white president, he would stop doing it, but they're already saying they're not going to stop. So.
Well, McCain said that he wasn't going to approve any Supreme Court nominees of Hillary. Right?
Yeah, do you guys think that there should... So McCain has already brought up the fact that they're probably going to try to figure out some way to obstruct her Supreme Court nominee if she gets... if she wins the election. Do you think there should be a statute of limitations? Do you think there should be like, well, guys, you have 90 days, and if you don't, or whatever. There was a Washington Post article, I think, this week about that. Desi, do you have any thoughts about that?
I read that article, and I have what I have to say. No, but that the Constitution is like intentionally vague, so he has the right to say, well, you've had enough time. But he's Barack Obama, and he's never in his life been like, I'm just going to stand up to you, except for I'm just going to send however many drones I want. He just doesn't have the personality to be like...
I think if he could, he would. I mean, I think he's been more aggressive. I agree with you largely, but I think he has been more aggressive with executive orders. Yeah. I think if he could find a way to do it, that his people believe. They've gotten more expansive about what they believe they can do via executive orders. I don't know. I mean, I wish he would do it too, but I don't think we can answer the question about what Congress will do. I mean, my knee jerk is to say, of course they're going to block everything. And I think that that's pretty safe to say, but if they go down to a crushing defeat, and if, you know, Democrats win back the Senate, and it's unimaginable to me, but it is possible that they would win back the House. If it's really a complete bloodbath, there will be an emergence of some Republicans who will want to do something. They won't know exactly what to do, but they will know that obstruction is not the answer, is not what people want. I've heard people say they'll take up immigration reform. I just don't think so. Like, they don't have a base that supports what the moderates in the party want to do, and this is a tough thing. It's like the base of the Republican Party, for some economic reasons, we always like make a joke when we see like, you know, racist graffiti. Oh, economic anxiety. Oh, those Trump voters. It's all about economic anxiety. But there
Joe's
is
doing
some
air quotes right now.
I know. I can't do air quotes. Oh, sorry.
Right. They make a median of like $150,000 a year, and they live in rural areas. But they're really
right. They're really
anxious,
yeah, and they have all this competition from immigrants. But their base won't support that.
So the Republican Party has the same problem with the deplorables. I mean, they can't block them on Twitter. They have to win them over.
That's their party.
And the only people those people hate more than Democrats are the Republican establishment.
Right.
So they're going to have to figure out how to deal with that.
What do you guys think Merrick Garland is doing right now? Are his bags packed just in case?
I think he's eating a slice of apple pie. Which he does every night.
With cheese on top.
In his briefs.
Yeah. And then he has a warm glass of milk.
Joan, do you think the Republicans will try to push him through if Hillary wins?
I think there's some people that will try to push him through. I think they, you know, again, depending on how large majority she wins the Democrats win in the Senate, I think they probably will try to push it through because, you know, they'll be afraid of what she might do.
Because Hillary Clinton's going to be like, never mind, fuck you, Michelle Obama for SCOTUS. That's a dream.
SCOTUS for FLOTUS. We've talked
FLOTUS
about
FLOTUS for SCOTUS. We've been saying FLOTUS for SCOTUS.
Yeah. I want someone from the Supreme Court to become FLOTUS the first lady. That's
yeah. I mean,
she's like just making RBG work out. That's
Elena Kagan to be Hillary's first lady. That's what I want.
So Obama's been campaigning hard for Democrats in Senate races, making campaign videos for them. This is the first time in a long time that anyone's wanted the help of a sitting president. Do you think it'll make an impact, Desi? Do you?
Yeah. I mean, I I like to think that everyone's pretty much made up their mind already, but I think I think it has an impact. Yeah, I mean, it certainly, I don't think it can hurt.
Well, it's unusual, right, that a sitting president in his second term is being asked upon to you know, come and support candidates. I mean, like, nobody wanted to be near George Bush, W. Bush. Nobody wanted to be near Bill Clinton. So it's the first time in a while that it's you know, 8-year president that is out there on the trail.
And also in the midterms, nobody wanted him to come, which was really pathetic.
Which was, yeah,
and cowardly.
In retrospect, really dumb.
Right. And he was like, "Fuck you guys, you lost.
You lost."
And now Clinton is just like, yeah, I'm gonna do everything he did. Yeah. Elect me. Yeah, everything.
I can't wait to see her and FLOTUS together in North Carolina on Thursday.
Come true. That's just, I mean,
I hope
anywhere.
They do sing.
Huh?
I hope they do sing.
I hope so.
Wouldn't that be great? Michelle will stay on it as first lady.
Me too.
That'd be great. That
would be Ashley. That's a great idea.
And here's the thing. I think Bill throws a great party, and that's most of the job. Like, I don't think Bill's going to be bad at it. I just think Michelle's exceptionally
good. She should stick around at least as, like, the gardener of that vegetable garden, right?
Well,
like,
so apparently they, like, surrounded it with concrete so it can't taken up if Trump gets elected.
Because Melania Trump wanted to bulldoze it?
No, I think Trump
built
only
a
eats
wall
McDonald's.
Around it. That's amazing.
It needs a Trump wall, Desi, you're right.
Trump would build a McDonald's in its place.
Right on top of it.
This makes me so sad.
It's not going to happen, so. I know. Knock on wood.
Joan, we had a cable news question for you that is just kind of off topic, but I'm just curious.
Oh,
so,
sure.
Who do you most enjoy going up against? Like, if it's Chris Matthews or Chris Hayes, and there's a liberal and a conservative on, and you're the liberal, who do you enjoy the back and forth with? Like, legitimately enjoy the conversation.
I really legitimately enjoy Michael Steele, although we just don't disagree about many things anymore. I mean, I think Michael is a decent person and is not offensive. But the Trump people now, I mean, the people
that
it's a
real clown show.
It's a clown show. They're morons. I was debating this guy on Saturday on Joy Reid's show, and he was just so condescending and, you know, sexist. And I mean, they're kind of idiots. Even the ones that aren't condescending and sexist are just living in a fantasy world or projecting a fantasy world. So it's really, you know, the days of sparring with Pat Buchanan, who is kind of a racist and, you know, but
you're like, I miss those days.
I can't believe
that's sad.
I can't believe I kind of miss Pat Buchanan. But there's just the people that they're coming up with are just so weak. Spined and
well,
so
speaking
incapable.
Of, I see you have a taco truck on your Hillary pen.
Tell us
right
about
now.
Your swag.
I got this in Greensboro, North Carolina, for anyone the person from North Carolina who I can't see. It was made by a local person, and it was apparently the only place that had these. And I gave it to Eva Longoria when she came to the office. And my daughter was like, "Mom, I think that might be racist."
It's a H with a taco truck in the middle.
Instead of the arrow in the Hillary logo, it's a taco truck. It's really
That was Joy Reid. That was a Trump, one of these great Trump surrogates that we're talking about, mm-hmm. who a Latino for Trump, who said, you'll all recall, that you've got to watch out because our culture really takes over. If we take over, you're going to have a taco truck on every corner.
I would kill
which
for
sounded
a taco truck
so
in my
great. Oh I mean, God. I think they're going to be.
If I could just walk off the stage right now and to have a taco truck, yeah, like kill me, it would be the best thing ever.
Yeah. So she's promising. Hillary's now promising that.
So Joan, what happens to these people? Like, all of these people who have been given all this airtime, are they going to have their own Fox News show? Or are they going to be on Trump's new network? Or are we
I
never
think they're
gonna
all going away. I mean, they're terrible. Is there anyone? I mean, you know, audience. Is there anyone that you think is like compelling or
Kellyanne
you know,
Conway?
Is
Listen,
freakishly compelling. She should have her own reality show.
Well, I used to watch. I'm a Bill Maher fan. I watched her on Bill Maher a lot.
Going back nothing, to like his politically incorrect,
yeah. And nothing that she has said makes sense, but it's good.
But she's really,
but
good
it's
at
real
it.
Good. I'm like, oh, that word her. Salad. No. The way you're just like, oh, come on. I mean, she just gets. She pivots like no one I've ever seen, and
Granted, she's working for someone I think is the worst person in the history of our democracy, but she has done a good job. I don't know.
My sincere hope is that Jeff Lord, like, lives in a cave after this. I hope. Not only that I don't see him on television, but also that he doesn't see sunlight again.
I think he already doesn't see sunlight. Yeah.
That's why he's so sad.
He's so sad.
So what happens to the Republican Party? Forget the Trump surrogates, but, like, what do you think happens to the Republican Party if it is a strong Hillary victory? Even if it's not a total wave election, but if they lose and they lose the Senate, what do they do?
I was having, like, a really interesting conversation with some, like, Catholic conservatives. So they were saying that this whole time, they've always been conservative, and they were always offended when people accused them of being racist or sexist for being conservative. And they're like, no, I truly believe in small government, and that's not a trick to, like, be mean to Black people. I really believe in it. And over the course of this election, they're like, oh, no, it turns out the people I was voting for don't truly believe in it because they all rolled over for Trump. So as it turns out, I was voting for a thing that wasn't what I thought it was. So my, you know, hopefully those people say, you know what, no, we're done. We don't want to be this. This is what we really want. And either, like, take back their party or start their own party. But that's definitely not going to happen because having a bunch of racists in your party is what helps you win elections. And I think people like winning. And I don't think people are going to kick them out for moral reasons if it means losing, which it will.
But so let's assume we're just saying that maybe Hillary wins the White House and that maybe the Democrats win the House. But not the Senate?
No, more like the Senate.
Okay, sure. So let's say that they win, you know, two branches of government. Do you think there's any chance...
One and a half.
Do we think there's any chance that they will split into three parties? Because to me, it sort of feels like we got Basket of Deplorables on one end, Bernie Bros on one end, and then just everyone else. A little bit, right?
So you're saying you're in the same basket as Paul Ryan. Right there, if you're ever.
Paul
else.
Ryan and I are simpatico. I'm obsessed with Ayn Rand.
I think Paul Ryan's in the basket of deplorables.
I agree.
Because he's a spineless fuck.
Yeah, he had a chance.
Yes.
There was a moment where he could have stood up to Trump and he would have been king of shit mountain for life. And instead, he rolled over and now that moment is gone.
Because honestly, like, as liberals, I'm respecting the people that have stood up. I'm like, McCain, you know what? Where's he been? Great for him. Yeah. Good for him.
Is he still voting for Trump?
No,
he's still,
not anymore. The white woman pussy grabbing too much.
No, but Cindy. He hasn't said he's not voting for Trump.
Yeah, he did.
He did?
I think he did.
Yeah. Okay.
It took someone saying he was going to grab his daughter's vagina.
I think all the people who came out after Pussygate, they don't have spines. That's way too late.
No.
Seriously.
That's way too late.
You're right.
I mean, who counts? Ben Sass? There's like one guy, right? Who else is there?
I feel like Jeff Flake.
Jeff Flake. Yeah, Utah's been pretty good. No.
Kasich has been.
Although Kasich never came out and said I'm not voting for him.
Right.
He just failed to endorse.
Yeah.
He's been in a coma for the last 6 months. Right? When he wakes up, we'll find out what he thinks.
He's like, I'm while you were sleeping. That's me. That movie.
But he probably does eat fast food.
Nope?
Yeah,
okay,
I do.
Yeah. Thank you, Joan. I appreciate it.
Sure, Cody.
So I sort of want to pivot. Charlie and I. Watched the Anthony Weiner documentary last night with my parents. It is so good in a gut-wrenching, like, oh, God, what are you doing to Huma Abedin?
I perfectly happened to have watched it the day before the new allegations came out.
Oh my God.
It just timed out so deliciously.
It is. I just like, why did you let these people in your home? Like, what did you, why?
It's all connected though, right?
Yes. It is so sad. And so I'm wondering, panel of ladies, can we finally say goodbye to the scorned wife standing like silently behind her husband in a speech? If Hillary wins, like, can we move forward and have no more sex scandals? And if so...
But if Hillary fucks some dude, don't you want Bill to have to stand up there with her?
Yes!
Oh, my God.
Yes.
Actually,
Actually, nothing would make me happier.
Honestly, that would be the best thing that ever happened if Bill Clinton was like
praying for that.
She fucked a guy in an airport bathroom.
I want Hillary to stick a cigar up some like 22-year-old white male's ass, and Bill has to stand up there and talk about it.
I mean, we laugh because that is the last thing that would ever happen.
Oh my
ever.
God.
But I do wish that she would just, like, their whole plot over the last 20 years has been trying to become president so she could fuck someone in the Oval Office.
And you know what? Drag him out there.
And I'm voting so for her for that because she deserves it.
Yep.
She deserves it. Mm-hmm. So
I'm there for her.
Do you think that's literally the only reason I'm voting for her? That's it.
In hopes that she sleeps with an intern.
But the,
oh, except women are like, I would never want to sleep with a 22-year-old boy again.
Yeah, 22.
That sounds
gross.
Terrible.
No.
What about like 30? Like, the worst.
38? But I mean, they're not an in. Well,
that's like
mind.
A year older than my husband.
I'm just being age appropriate for Hillary.
I'm just saying, right? Like a woman's like, oh, 19-year-old boy, no, thank you.
No, that sounds terrible.
The thing that's, anyway. That's tragic, one many things that's tragic about the Wiener documentary. But as a Democrat, like I loved Anthony Wiener. Like I remember like tweeting like you know during the Bush administration, like I wish he was my congressperson because I don't live in his district in Brooklyn. But you know, it was revealed that he is a sex addict who has a real problem, and he got kicked out of the party, right? Like, so why can't people who are Trump fans just kick Trump out? Like, you know, I mean, it was hard. I was really bummed out when I found out that Wiener, you know, was a hypocrite and was full of shit, but, you know, we let him go.
But I think that, you know, I believe all 11 women and many more. But we don't have proof. I mean, you know, women came forward, the texts, the sects, whatever, were there. So I think that's the difference. But the other difference, I always thought the reason that Anthony Wiener and Elliot Spitzer couldn't get forgiven is that they were Jewish, and so they couldn't do the whole Jesus thing.
Oh, they couldn't be forgiven.
You know?
Yes, guys, I'm a Christian.
Yeah, like diaper guy.
I'm not, but believe me, so I can get forgiven.
Why am I blanking on the David Vitter, Louisiana senator, diaper
Call
Dave?
Prostitutes.
Yeah, prostitutes. But I'm forgiven, and you know his wife stood there in a leopard dress.
Well, but also I'm just so pissed that like, I just hope that we're getting to a point where like a dirty dog, male or female politician. Doesn't have to get married and go down that route of like, I believe in God and I'm a pious person. It's like, no. Can't they be like, listen, I like to send pictures of my dick to girls over the internet, but I care about your beliefs and I'm not going to go marry someone and pretend I'm in love and have a perfect home life so I can get elected. Like,
that's not going to happen in our lifetime.
I don't know. Cory Booker's not married.
Cory Booker
is not married,
strong.
And he is like a bachelor. And yes, I hope, my belief is that he is a sexy man that likes to fuck. And I hope he doesn't get married and he just like fucks a bunch, but still like moves up in his political career. Ashley,
I hope
you
he's
met
listening.
Him. I hope that you and him have an affair. That would be happy for me.
I hope so too. I don't know if it holds him back. Like there are a lot of rumors about his sexuality, which are bullshit. But like,
no, that man is straight.
Yeah, obviously.
I can tell. I know it.
But I wonder.
There's rumors that Cory Booker's gay.
Yeah,
I don't see it.
Mm-mm. No, he's a sexy man that is like, I like to fuck with women. And I enjoy it.
He's not like that. I don't think he's actually said that on Meet the Press.
Nobody goes around talking about how they love their enemy unless they're trying to fuck a woman. That's how you attract women. But yeah, the fact that he doesn't feel, I think he obviously has presidential ambitions, and he doesn't feel like he has to get married to do that means that we are moving into a different time.
So speaking of him having presidential ambitions, who do you guys think is on the bench for the Democrats? So let's say eight years from now, who are we grooming? Who's next?
This is a serious problem because the list is Cory Booker.
Yeah,
sounds like a great problem to me.
No, but I mean, like your list should be five people long, right?
Yeah. Oh yeah, I mean Kirsten Gillibrand.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Tim Kaine. Tim Kaine starts out, you know. People, okay, no, but not everyone likes him as much as I do, but...
I just think we're not ready for a white man now, Joan. We can't have another white male. We just can't.
That's
Elizabeth
true.
Warren.
Elizabeth Warren, obviously.
I don't think she wants to be president.
Yeah, well, yeah. She might.
How old is
I used to say
Warren?
That. She's about Hillary's age. She's about 68, 69.
Okay, so she would be
so
76.
If it's 8 years, yeah.
Yeah, that might be too.
She'll long. Be a young 76.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's very spry.
Spry. Mm-hmm. That's really not a young word. Yeah, when we start saying spry, use. You're not young.
All right. So
call me spry, I will cut you.
So no, I was like, I went out with a spry college student the other day. Spry as fuck.
So here's the other side of that question. So what's the Republican bench, and who in the Republican Party are you scared of? And 20. I love that this whole podcast is predicated on the fact that Hillary's going to win.
Oh God, we'll be so
that terrifies
vote.
Me.
Everybody
that
here
me.
Vote. Everybody listening to this
was
vote.
Was today the last day? I think today is the last day to register.
To
in
register.
New York.
Yeah.
Do it right now. Pull out your phone.
Pull out your
five
phone.
People in the audience just went, "Oh shit!"
If you're not, I'm not even kidding. If
run
you're
out now. I think the board of elections closes it.
Pull out your fucking phone
it.
Right
not,
now.
Get on a fucking plane and fly back to Indiana or wherever the hell you're from and vote there.
So who? And so let's say Hillary wins. Should we be so lucky? In 4 years, who are we scared of?
No one.
Nobody, because I think they all fucked up. I think once this campaign is over, we're all going to go, oh no, we almost elected that guy, and anyone who stood with him is done.
So, you know, that brings up Kasich. John Kasich was also, even this year, somebody that people, liberals periodically acted afraid of. And maybe he will play it very well in the next 4 years. So I guess he might be someone. Yeah. I don't see it. I mean, he's a little unhinged in a very real way.
Relatively popular in Ohio.
Yeah, popular
and
in Ohio.
There's two people from Ohio here that hate him. I know.
Yeah.
They're my parents.
He tends to like yell at reporters and throw
of course,
things.
Their daughter's the one hosting this drunken liberal podcast.
I debated
podcast.
Him on Hardball, and he told me to control myself. I mean, like... Yeah, no, he...
Were you being out of control?
No, I wasn't. Well,
get out,
well,
Charlie,
well,
get out.
Yeah, I mean...
Were you being a little too spry?
I'd had 2.5 beers, so...
That's actually how
obviously.
Joe does all of her appearances.
Yeah, this is really nothing.
You gotta have 2 beers to go on Hardball, for sure.
God, I wish. No, I love it.
I mean, that show starts at like 6 p.m., so got to be wasted by the time you get
7.
There. Oh, that's right. That's
I can
right.
Wait. I can wait till 8. It's not a problem.
So I want to just change the subject slightly. One thing that both Democrats and Republicans, in theory, have agreed upon recently is mass incarceration.
Thanks to Cory Booker.
Yes, thank you, Cory Booker. And what's his partner?
Rand Paul.
He is a partner that he's proposing a bill with. He's from, I think he's he's a Mormon. I think he's from Utah.
There's a Republican who's also...
Yeah,
but it's not Rand Paul?
It might actually be Mike Lee. I don't really want to give Mike Lee a shout-out.
I think
it
is Mike Lee.
Because it was... I remember being like, this is the most surprising person, so it's probably Mike Lee.
I think it's Mike Lee, yeah. They've bonded over it. But do you think that this is something that will move forward? I mean, one thing I want to say, I've been very happy about the fact that both sides seem to agree that we have too many people in jail and that our laws are fucked. But on a contrast, you know, Donald Trump is running as the law and order candidate, right? Like, right. Who is supposedly the top of the ticket, which is just another random, weird, crazy thing that's happening, is going against what a lot of Republicans are agreeing with. So I don't know. What do you guys think? Do you think it has any chance of moving forward?
I'm torn because on the one hand, yes, because everybody wants it and everybody's touched by it. And I think when prison was seen as like just a black issue, it wasn't popular. But now that this has always been true, but now that we recognize that white people are touched by drugs and that, you know, nonviolent drug offenders are ending up being incarcerated for way too long, I think there's political support everywhere. But that's also true of gun control, and we've never been able to do that. So, you know, who knows?
Yeah, I guess I think that it's possible if Republicans really learn, some Republicans learn a lesson from this this defeat that we hope they suffer, it's possible that people will step up. But I thought it was possible a couple of years ago.
Well, yeah, because I feel like we're not talking enough about how after the last election they did that postmortem.
The autopsy, they called it.
And they literally did none of those things.
No.
So it's like
they
at
did
a
the
certain
opposite.
Point,
exact
you don't want to win.
Mm-hmm. Right. And I don't know who the forces are in the party who would force a more you know, sober reckoning and like do the numbers. You know, you
Reince is going to raise his voice.
Oh my goodness!
Oh my God!
Reince is going to be kicked to the curb, and that's going to be great.
It sort of feels to me like, you know how like when you're all sharing an apartment in Brooklyn, and like the person on the lease moves out, but everybody else has only been there for a few months, so no one feels like they can like chime up and say, I think we should put this poster in the living room, you know? And so it just sits yes. empty, and it's really gross because no one like wants to take control. That's what it feels like.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
My friend Brett laughed at that, so thank you, Brett.
Hi, Brett.
Your old roommate, Brett.
My old roommate,
I remember.
Brett, who never took
I remember
control.
This.
So we're wrapping up here. I guess last question is, we're curious if you guys... What is the issue that you guys think is not being covered in this election that should be covered? What are we not talking about? I mean, I would say climate change would be my number one. I think Hillary brought it up in debate number one when she said that Trump says it's a conspiracy from the Chinese, and he said, no, wrong, even though there's a tweet saying
wrong.
Climate change is a conspiracy from the Chinese, but not brought up in debate two or three. But are there any other issues that you guys think is woefully missing from our discussion?
I think it's education, which is like half a joke. Like, on a serious point, literally no one has proposed anything about overhauling K-12 education.
No.
American schools are the most segregated they've ever been. Test scores are only getting worse. It's really, really bad, and neither party has anything to say about it. On the joke note, Trump would not happen if we had better education. So I don't understand why the Democrats aren't working on that.
Amen.
Maybe it'll change.
But it feels like a scary time where people actually are like, education, you think we should be educated? I mean, that was what Santorum said. He was like,
those snobs.
My opponent thinks that we should have education for people. Well, guess what? Fuck you.
It's like, well...
It actually makes perfect sense for them to do that because graduating college is correlated with becoming more liberal. So I think there's this weird cynical thing
where they're absolutely like,
if we let people get educated, they're not going to vote for us.
Right.
But I think that we also are not even able to see what is being covered on the campaign, or particularly the Clinton campaign, because the media, which includes me, is you know, completely focused on, okay, what did Trump say today, and then what did she say? And I saw this really interesting interview with Lucia McBath, I think her name is. She was the mother. She is the mother of Jordan Davis, and she's one of the mothers of the movement. And I saw this very interesting interview with her today with Tamron Hall, where Tamron, you know, was very respectful, but then said to her, you know, do you feel, you obviously care about these issues of mass incarceration and criminal justice reform and racism, and do you feel like they're being talked about enough? They don't seem to be, you know, coming out so much in this campaign. And she said, yeah, I do think they're being talked about. She talks about this all the time on the trail, but you guys don't cover it, you know? So when she goes out and she appears with the mothers of the movement and does other things, no one covers that. Or they'll cover, like, you know, beautiful church music, or, you know, they'll cover some moving scene, but nothing of the policy. And every speech they go to of Hillary's, they just really tune into to see if she got a zinger against Trump. Elizabeth Warren doesn't get to talk about, you know, college accessibility and tuition-free college. She just gets to talk about how she's going to, you know, disable Donald Trump and make him, it's too early, it's only 9 o'clock, but, you know, in 6 hours, he'll be up replying to Elizabeth Warren tonight. But that's kind of the both sides. It's sort of like Trump says something outrageous, and thank God we all now admit it's outrageous, but then the Clinton side is only covered, whether it's the Obamas or Tim Kaine or Joe Biden, or Elizabeth Warren in what they say in response to Trump.
It's really been the tragedy of this election cycle.
Yeah.
So Trump has robbed us of having
huge
discussion.
Issues.
And you can
are
look at Romney Obama or McCain Obama, and I was frustrated then. There was mostly horse race talk.
Right.
But there were some issues, and we just haven't talked about anything.
There was glorious week, I think in July, where it seemed like the Clinton campaign had figured that out, and she gave like three speeches in a row, and every time it was like, two lines of policy and one Trump insult, and two lines of policy and one Trump insult, so they couldn't cut away because they didn't know when more insults were coming. And it was, like, so brilliant, but even that, like, stopped working, I guess.
Yeah. Desi, do you think there's anything specific?
Well, even, I just think, I don't feel like any policy issues have been talked about at all, even in the debates. It's like you keep waiting for them to discuss, okay, what are we going to do about this? And two words come out, and it's like, it's the back and forth, and I think Trump can't speak to it, so he does his distraction, and it's worked brilliantly for him, but not too brilliantly.
Hopefully not too brilliantly. And on that note, we have to wrap up.
We have to wrap up. A couple of program notes. We're doing a live election special on election night here. We're going to
Oh, I heard someone go, in the audience. I was like, get that ticket, girl.
Yeah, we're gonna screen the results. We're gonna have some. We're gonna do a little panel in between. But we're
gonna have some prizes.
We're gonna have prizes, which we have to figure out what those are. But if Hillary wins, we're going to parade to Union Square.
If Hillary loses, we're gonna charter a bus to Canada.
Yeah. If Hillary loses, we are parading to Port Authority.
Get your seat now, guys.
Either way,
we have already found someone to raise our son here in New York City, and because I just can't
Melania,
get a passport
we're giving him to
for
Melania,
him,
right?
I can't. He's too small. I can't sneak him over to the border.
No.
All right, let's thank our panel, everybody: Ashley Nicole Black, Desi Leidick, and Joan Walsh. Thank you guys so much for coming out, and please, whatever you do, vote in midterm elections.
Yes.
Good night, everybody.
Yes. Thank you.
Cody and Charlie.
This has been a UCB Comedy production. Check out our other shows on the UCB Comedy Podcast Network.